理课堂听 class.com。
College English Test, Band 4.
Model Test 9.
Part 3. Listening Comprehension.
Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said.Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line,through the center. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11. I heard you were thinking of applying for a job as a camp counselor?
Yeah. Do you know if they need anyone at that place where you worked last summer?
What does the woman ask the man?
Question 12. Do you have any idea why David wants to see me tomorrow? Is he having problems with his accounting project?
Yeah.He's been struggling with it for days, and I'm told you're an expert on that stuff.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 13.I've got a free ticket to the movies. Do you want to come along?
It'll come out on video. Besides, it's too violent for me.
What will the woman probably do?
Question 14. I know it's short notice, but do you think you could proofread this lab report for me tonight?
Talk about the last minute.
What can be inferred about the man?Question 15. Tomorrow we are having our first test in history class. I'm really worried about it. You've taken one of Dr. Parker's tests, haven't you? I hear they're impossible to pass.
I don't know who you've been talking to. My experience was just the opposite.
What does the man mean?
Question 16. I would like 2 tickets for the 9 o'clock show this evening.
I'm sorry, sir. They're sold out. But we have a few left for tomorrow.
What do we learn from this conversation?Question 17. Hi, Jane. Sorry to take you away from the kitchen, But it seems as if something has come up. Stacy is off to New York, so do you know who might replace her?
That's a tough one, but I'll certainly keep an eye out for someone.
Where does this conversation most probably take place?
Question 18. I'm thinking of taking 5 courses next semester.
Wouldn't 4 be wiser?
What does the man mean?
Now you'll hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1.
Maths Department, Dr. Winston speaking.
Hello, Professor Winston. This is Eliza Smith calling. I'm living 2 doors down from your teaching assistant, David Williams. David asked me to call you because he lost his voice and can't talk to you himself.
Lost his voice? Oh, what a shame. Is there anything I can do for him?
Well, he has a class this afternoon from 2:30 to 4, and he won't be able to teach it. But he doesn't want to cancel it either.
Want me to try and find somebody else to teach the class?
No, not exactly. What he wants to do is to get someone to go in for him, just to pass back the midterm exams. He's already marked them, and they're on the desk in his office. The whole thing wouldn't take more than 10 minutes.
His class is at 2:30, eh? Well, at that time I'm going to be on campus anyway, so I can do it for him. What room is his class in?
Building 4, room 214. Will you need his office key to get the exams? He's given it to me, and I could bring it to you.
Actually, that won't be necessary. We have a master key in the maths department, so I can get into his office if necessary.
Thanks very much, Professor Winston. David doesn't have another class to teach until Tuesday, and hopefully he will be able to talk by then. He'll call you as soon as he can. Oh, yes, I almost forgot. Could you put the next assignment on the board too? It's all the problems on page 45. And they are due at the next class.
No trouble at all. Thanks for passing all the news about David. And please tell him not to worry about anything.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What's David's problem? Question 20. What favor does David want someone to do for him? Question 21. What does Eliza offer to do? Question 22. What does Eliza almost forget to ask Professor Winston?
Conversation 2.
Hello, Professor Daniel. My name is Anna Adams. I read in the university newspaper that you were looking for a student to work as a language laboratory assistant.
Yes, we are. Are you interested in the job?
I think so, but before I apply, I'd like you to tell me more about the work.
Have you worked with tape recorders before?
I used cassettes a lot when I was studying French in high school.
Good. There are many different kinds of language labs. Ours is a small one, and it's fairly easy to operate. This is the main control panel. You can set the controls to a lot of students to listen to the lessons they want to hear. If you decide to take the job, I'll explain how the system operates. Most of the lessons are on cassette tapes, but some of them are also on long reel tapes of records. The cassettes are kept in order on these shelves, and they are clearly numbered with the language and the lesson number. For example, the cassettes in the green boxes are French lessons. Records and tapes are over there.
How many hours would I work?
We need someone 10 hours a week, Monday through Friday, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. This is one of the busiest times for this laboratory.
I'll fill out an application for this job right now. It would fit into my schedule nicely.
Fine. I'll get back to you in a week or so after we review the applications. Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 23. What is the woman? Question 24. What is the man's opinion of the language laboratory? Question 25. What will the woman do right now?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1.
As more women in the United States move up the professional ladder, more are finding it necessary to make business trips alone. Since this is new for many, some trips are certainly in order. If you are married, it is a good idea to encourage your husband and children to learn to cook a few simple meals while you are away. They will be much happier and probably enjoy the experience. If you will be eating a good meal alone, choose good restaurants. In the end, they will be much better for your digestion. You may also find it useful to call the restaurant in advance and state that you will be eating alone. You will probably get better service and almost certainly a better table. Finally, and most importantly, anticipate your travel needs as a businesswoman. This starts with lightweight luggage, which you can easily manage even when fully packed. Take a folding case inside your suitcase. It will come in extremely handy for dirty clothes, as well as for business documents and papers you no longer need on the trip. And make sure you have a briefcase so that you can keep currently required papers separate. Obviously, experience helps, but you can make things easier on yourself from the first by careful planning, so that right from the start, you can really have a good trip.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. Who is the author's intended audience? Question 27. Why is lightweight luggage important for the travelling businesswoman? Question 28. Where would this passage most likely appear?
Passage 2.
Scientific experiments can sometimes go wrong. And when they do, the results may range from the disastrous to the troubling. One such experiment took place in South America about 50 years ago. Whether its final consequences will cause serious damage or nothing more than a small trouble still remains to be seen. The story began in 1956. When an American scientist working in Brazil decided to solve the problem of increasing the productivity of that country's bees. He imported a very active type of African bee from Tanzania and mated it with the more easygoing native variety to produce a new kind of bees. The new bees worked harder and produced twice as much honey. It seemed that Professor Kerr, for that was the scientist's name, had a total success on his hands. Then things began to go wrong. For some reason, as yet unseen, but perhaps as a result of something in their environment, the new bees began to develop extremely attacking personalities. They became bad-tempered and easy to be angry, attacked the native bees and drove them from their living places. But worse was to follow. Having taken over the countryside, the new bees, with their dangerous stings, began to attack its neighbours. Cats, dogs, horses, chickens, and finally man himself. A long period of terror began that has so far killed a great number of animals and about 150 human beings. This would have been bad enough if the bees had stayed in Brazil, but now they are on the move, heading northwards in countless millions towards Central and North America, and moving at the alarming speed of 200 miles a year. The countries that lie in their path are naturally worried, because it looks as if nothing can be done to stop them.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29. What do we learn about the results of the South American experiment? Question 30. To what purpose was the experiment mentioned in this passage designed? Question 31. Which of the following may be the cause of the new bees attacking personalities?
Passage 3.
Good morning, students, and welcome to the university. I'd like to begin with some information about graduate student housing, and then I'll turn this session over to Dr. Paulson, who'll explain some of the financial support services we offer to graduate students. First of all, I hope you have a smooth time getting settled here. I know that finding housing is often difficult, So let me give you some information that might help you. I know that several of you have already moved into our new graduate student unit. It's located on the west side of the campus. In this building, 4 students share dining and living rooms, kitchen, 2 bathrooms, and 4 single bedrooms. We do have a few more empty rooms, so if you're interested in moving in, let me know right away. If you haven't visited the family student housing complex, be sure to go take a look at it. This small community has 2-bedroom unfurnished apartments. They're on the south side of campus near the downtown bus stop. Unfortunately, all apartments are full now, and we have a waiting list for next year. Come see me if you want to add your name to the list. You should apply as soon as possible for next year. If you want to live off campus and are still looking for a house, be sure to check out the off-campus housing office. You'll find a lot of rentals listed there. Now let me turn this over to Dr. Paulson. He will explain some things about the financial aid program.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 32. Who is the most likely speaker of this talk? Question 33. If you want to move into the family student housing, what should you do? Question 34. What will the off-campus housing office do for you? Question 35. What will the listeners be doing next?
Section C, Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage 3 times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage.
After retiring from 30 years of teaching, Ethel Pepper could easily have decided to sit back, to relax, and enjoy a peaceful retirement. But that kind of life is not for Ethel Pepper. I just wanted to do something different. If you are going to participate in life, do it. Don't just sit down and look out the window, said she. At 68, she decided to become one of the pioneer participants in a program at the University of California. The program offers campus housing and classes to people over 60. She signed up for a class called Human Relationships and Diverse Society. I taught my minority students in my English and drama classes in a high school for 20 years. But in this course, I found out a lot about other cultures I didn't know then. One of the most important lessons that I'm learning is to perceive, not to judge. Older adults can add to the educational resources of the university by bringing with them a lot of valuable experience. Their presence on campus helps break some of long beliefs about aging. Young students may have fears of growing older, but that kind of fear can be reduced when older people can be active, healthy, and continue to contribute to society, the younger students can begin to see aging as a natural part of living.
Now the passage will be read again.
After retiring from 30 years of teaching, Ethel Pepper could easily have decided to sit back to relax and enjoy a peaceful retirement. But that kind of life is not for Ethel Pepper. I just wanted to do something different. If you are going to participate in life, do it. Don't just sit down and look out of the window, she said. At 68, she decided to become one of the pioneer participants in a program at the University of California. The program offers campus housing and classes to people over 60. She signed up for a class called Human Relationships and Diverse Society. I taught my minority students in my English and drama classes in a high school for 20 years. But in this course, I found out a lot about other cultures I didn't know then. One of the most important lessons that I'm learning is to perceive, not to judge. Older adults can add to the educational resources of the university by bringing with them a lot of valuable experience. Their presence on campus helps break some of the long beliefs about aging. Young students may have fears of growing older, but that kind of fear can be reduced when older people can be active, healthy, and continue to contribute to society. The younger students can begin to see aging as a natural part of living.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
After retiring from 30 years of teaching, Ethel Pepper could easily have decided to sit back, to relax, and enjoy a peaceful retirement. But that kind of life is not for Ethel Pepper. I just wanted to do something different. If you are going to participate in life, do it. Don't just sit down and look out the window, said she. At 68, she decided to become one of the pioneer participants in a program at the University of California. The program offers campus housing and classes to people over 60. She signed up for a class called Human Relationships and Diverse Society. I taught my minority students in my English and drama classes in a high school for 20 years. But in this course, I found out a lot about other cultures I didn't know then. One of the most important lessons that I'm learning is to perceive, not to judge. Older adults can add to the educational resources of the university by bringing with them a lot of valuable experience. Their presence on campus helps break some of long beliefs about aging. Young students may have fears of growing older, but that kind of fear can be reduced when older people can be active, healthy, and continue to contribute to society. The younger students can begin to see aging as a natural part of living.